Well, we'll have to compare ages before we talk too much about that, I think. It's always a joy to come back here. And it's a real blessing to share with you Sunday after Sunday. I was telling the pastor's wife, I think Anna, right? I was telling Anna that I think it was the last four Sundays before your new pastor and his wife came, you had me fill the pulpit. And I went from here up to Goodwood Baptist Church, and it was, I think it was three Sundays. One was four, one was three. I forget which was which. And I filled the pulpit and before they got their new pastor. And I finally figured out what the story was. It's this, you see. After you get done hearing me, you're ready for a new pastor. That's the conclusion I came to. So I trust that we will have some good time of sharing anyway in the Word of God. And I was thinking on this passage of Scripture, and it took a little turn to a different direction. Your pastor was telling me that he's been going through the book of, well, starting in Genesis, and kind of working his way through. Is that not correct? He hasn't finished by any means, I'm sure. And it was Brother Mitten that wondered if I should continue on the same subject or theme that the pastor had, or what I would be doing. He said it's between me and the pastor. I no sooner got that email. By the way, what's this about emails? I've got Brother Mitten's email. I've never got his phone number. I've got Brother James' email. I've never got his phone number. And I've even asked on email once or twice, could you send me your phone number? And it wasn't forthcoming. And I'm thinking, it's a little bit strange, I think. So I'm not sure what it is, but at least we have contact. And I no sooner got the email from Brother Mitten saying that that would be up to the pastor, and I got an email from the pastor. And he said, well, he said, that's okay. He said, you just preach on whatever you feel the Lord has laid upon your heart. Now, that gave me a lot more liberty. When I was pastoring full-time in different churches in the States, I loved the opportunity of sometimes going through pretty much a book of the Bible. But I also liked the opportunity that I had of just sharing what I felt the Lord had laid on my heart that Sunday, that particular Sunday, whatever it might be. And I always had problems when I came to certain themes that I had to preach on. Oh, let's say Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, Easter. I don't know why I felt kind of constrained. I had to keep my theme in that passage and find a passage sometimes, like for Mother's Day, that might be appropriate. I thought our pastor this last Sunday morning did really well for Mother's Day. And I thought, I never preached on that, but I sure enjoyed what he did with it and was thankful for that. The Lord has sort of laid on my heart, I believe, the subject of the Lamb of God. And I'm reading from the King James Version of the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter, just to kind of give us a launching off point. I was going to try to do with you, can you hear me okay? Am I echoing all over the place? Is it? You can hear okay. Thank you. If you can hear it in the back pew, I guess, back row, I guess I'm fine. I was going to give you an outline for that particular chapter in chapter 22, but as I did so and looked at some of the notes of messages and studies that I'd given, I thought, I think I'm going to take it just a little bit different direction. And I'm starting out with Genesis chapter 22, where the Lord began to speak to Abraham and he said, I want you to take your son and I want you to offer him up as a burnt offering up upon the mountain. And in verse 1 it says, and it came to pass that after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave or split the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And in the King James verse, or rather in the Hebrew, it says, and I and the lad will come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon the Isaac his son. I notice that he's carrying the wood. Any comparison there to the cross and the Lord? We'll get into that perhaps. And he laid that wood upon the, and he laid the wood on his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And this is the first time it says both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And so they went, both of them, again in the Hebrew, with one accord. With one accord. And they came to the place that God had told him of, and Abraham built the altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him upon the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, and Abraham, and he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And it was my original intention to give you a description of that which we read in Genesis chapter 22 and compare it to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And what a type of Christ there is in this passage. What a similarity. And it is meant to be so, as we can see again and again. The Father and the Son. And the question that comes in this passage of Scripture as I saw it that attracted my attention is the question, where is the Lamb? Where is the Lamb? For we read in the earlier passages of Scripture that a burnt offering, a sacrifice offering, was absolutely required in those days for the forgiveness of sin. It wasn't unusual for Abraham or for Isaac to offer a lamb as a covering of their sins. It was the Lord's command, and it is just what they did in obedience to him. But here they begin to climb the mountain, and they're coming with the firewood, and they're coming with the fire They're coming with the knife to slay the lamb, but there didn't appear to be any lamb whatsoever available. And Isaac turns to his father and says, here's the wood. Here's the fire. But where is the lamb? And Abraham says to him, God will provide himself a lamb. And I thought to myself, we oftentimes think of the Lord as our lamb, and indeed he is. But before he ever became our lamb, he had to be the lamb that God himself, the Father, accepted as our sacrifice. God will provide himself a lamb. And you and I are the recipients of that blessing indeed, that God provided himself a lamb. I looked at it and I saw there in that passage of scripture, and it reminded me in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, a verse or two of scripture where it talked about sacrificing a lamb before the children of Israel who had been in bondage in Egypt would be removed and would be expelled, as a matter of fact. And God said to them, I want you to do something. I want you to get ready because you're going to be traveling, and you're going to be traveling very quickly. Now on that great day, he said, I want you to take a lamb, and in the midst of all of the people, I want you to slay that lamb, and this time I want you to take the blood of the lamb and put it upon the lintels of every single door of every single house of the children of Israel. Because he said, this night, I'm traveling through, I'm passing through, and the firstborn of every single household will die. This is because of the sins of Egypt, and this is because of the gods of Egypt, but they will die. But he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I want to tell you something. The power of salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ himself. The power of the forgiveness of your sins and mine. The power that makes us available and worthy is not through us, and not through our strength, and not through our goodness. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on Calvary, applied to our lives. I tell you this, when the sacrifice was made on that fateful day before the Israelites left, if that sacrifice had stayed on the altar and the blood thereof, every firstborn of the children of Israel would have died as well. For I discovered as I looked through this passage of scripture that the shedding of the blood is the propitiation, it is the sacrifice for our sins. But the shedding of blood is not all that was required. For he said, I want you to take that blood and I want you to put it on the doorposts of every single house that you and your families are living in. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. God doesn't look at your goodness or mine. God doesn't look at what you've done or what I've done. God doesn't look, as it were, on the house or our earthly tabernacle. God looks on the blood. We used to sing a song in Sunday school, And that song went something like this. I wrote the words to a Christ our Redeemer, died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass. I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus will save, as he has promised, that will he do. Wash in the fountain opened for sin, and I will pass over you. And I like that last verse, and I wrote it out. I'll read it to you. Oh, great compassion. Oh, boundless love. Oh, loving kindness, faithful and true. Find peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass. I will pass over you. Where is the Lamb? And I thought I'm going to go right from there into the Gospel of John, the first chapter, and the 29th verse, when Jesus was walking with his disciples, and perhaps others were with him. We weren't told how many. As he came upon John and his disciples and those who were gathered around him, John was baptizing people. And Jesus says in the 29th verse, the next day, that John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Isaac asked Abraham, Where is the Lamb? And we discovered as we studied it that there is a requirement for a Lamb. John, when he saw Jesus Christ walking, said, Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And if the first chapter, or rather the first book of the Bible, tells us something of the requirement of a Lamb, then John, his first chapter in verse 29, gives us an insight into the revelation of the Lamb. God's sacrifice. God's perfect Lamb. And I trust you realize that all of the sins, or rather all of the sacrifices of all of the lambs and the animals that for years and years had been sacrificed for the sins of the people, never ever took away their sin. It covered their sin, but it never took it away. John, as he looked at Jesus, looked upon Jesus, said in it, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away. He taketh away the sins of the world. And I can't help but ask, and I can't help but wonder, in any congregation, not just this church, I've asked this question in Baptist churches again and again. Somebody told us when we get to heaven, we'll all be Baptists. I'm not sure about that. I pastored a Baptist church, but I pastored other churches as well. All of them sound, all of them evil, evangelical, all of them Bible-believing. I preached in a United Church, and these people were probably some of the few people that really loved to hear the Word of God. And I said, you know something? I said, and I was saying it half-jokingly, and they knew it. I said, isn't it wonderful that when we all get to heaven, we will all be united? And they sort of laughed, and I thought, well, yeah, We will indeed be united, but there may be many people that we think are going to be there that we won't find there. United, Baptist, Evangelical Free Church, I pastored those churches in the States as well. We just don't know. And we may see people that we see every single Sunday, and we might believe, oh yeah, they're wonderful, fine people. But you know, if your heart has not been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've never trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, if you've never committed your life to God and thanked Him and applied that blood which was sacrificed to you in your heart and in your life, God's sacrifice is meaningless to you. When I see the blood applied, I will pass over you. And so I looked at that passage and I said, well, there's the question. Where is the Lamb? There's an answer. Behold the Lamb. But then I looked in the passage of Scripture and in the book of Revelation in the very fifth chapter, and I'm kind of moving through. Oh, thank you. You did have one there for me, and I'm beginning to thank you so much. I looked in the book of Revelation, the fifth chapter, and I found a passage that certainly spoke to my heart. I trust it will speak to yours. Verse 11 says this in Revelation chapter 5, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of these was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. How many people are we going to see in heaven? Wow. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, crying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such that are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And I thought, where is the Lamb? Genesis 22. Behold the Lamb, John chapter 1. Worthy is the Lamb, Revelation chapter 5. And if Genesis reminds us of the requirement of the Lamb, and if the Gospel of John reminds us of the revelation of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 5 reminds us of the royalty of the Lamb. King of Kings, chapter 19 of the book of Revelation says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I can't help but ask you, dear friends, have you made him king of your life? Have you made him Lord of your life? Have you applied that blood which was shed for you on the cross of Calvary, applied it to your life, and thanked him for his death? Admit your sinfulness and come to him for cleansing and for life anew. I had the opportunity while I was in New York City ministering of having a part, a very small part, but a part nonetheless, of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Crusade. And I can't help but remember, almost as though I could hear it sung yesterday, that hymn of invitation that they always sang at the conclusion of his message. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, O Lamb of God, O perfect Lamb, spotless Lamb, worthy Lamb, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. And I wonder this morning, as we realize all that God has done for us, if we might recommit our hearts and our lives to him in the light of all that he is to us. For in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul says to them, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that which is good and perfect and acceptable in the will of God. Won't you recommit your heart to the Lord as I do? Won't you thank the Lord for his blessing and his sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God, shed his blood. It was God's sacrifice to himself. It was the only one that was acceptable to the Father. God the Son, in his love for you and love for me, went in full agreement, in one accord with his Father, laid down his life on the cross of Calvary. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Sound familiar, Genesis 22? Only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for the glory of your word, for the encouragement of your word, for the challenge of your word, that we would give our hearts to you, that we would not trust in our own goodness, but trust in the very blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives. As we ask you to come in, cleanse us, renew us, and perhaps for some, make us your child this day. We thank you for the precious word of God by your Spirit. Continue to apply it to hearts and lives, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen.